In the Shvilei Pinchas, Parsha Zachor, Maimer He, the fifth and final essay that he has on the topic of Parsha Zachor. It's a little bit of continuation from yesterday, but if you weren't here yesterday, that's okay. You'll still be able to follow. What we're going to talk about, in terms of writing a title at the top of your page, we're going to talk about the concept of Das. Da'at. Okay? As in Chachma Bina Das. We need to understand its connection to Amalek. Ironically, we're not going to talk about the fact that on Purim we try to achieve Ad Delo Yada, which will seem to be a contradiction to everything we're about to learn. But we're going to have to leave that question on the side for a moment. Okay? We will answer the other question that I didn't raise yesterday, which is why do we read Parsha Zachor on Shabbos? And how does Shabbos somehow respond to Amalek? Okay, but let's go slow. Yesterday, if you remember, we learned in the Rebbe of Kamarna that Amalek is Gematria Safik. Amalek is Gematria Safik. We spoke yesterday about Safik and Vadai. Safik means doubt. Vadai means confidence and certainty. So therefore, when it comes to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the goal is that we should live Vadai. Hashem is Vadai a presence in my life. Amalek causes us to have doubts. Okay? The B'nai Yisachar, just write this down. We'll explain what it means. The B'nai Yisachar says, and we saw this mentioned in one of the earlier pieces, that Amalek is the klipa, is so to speak, the negative expression of das. Amalek is das in klipa, in negativity. The negativity of das, whatever das means, we translate as knowledge, we need to understand what it means. Amalek is the negative aspect of das, and they opposed, obviously, the holy expression of das. They opposed Das of Kedusha. There's a Das of Tuma, a Klipa of Das, a negative expression of Das. And then there's, of course, a pure and holy side of Das. We'll have to see what that is. Okay? Chachma, Bina, and Das. You've heard of it before? Chachma, Bina, Das, Chabad. What is Chachma? What is Bina? And what is Das? Because if we don't define the word Das, we can't even begin to have this conversation. So if you've learned the beginning of Tanya, in the third chapter of Tanya, we begin to understand what is Chachma, what is Bina, and what is Das. And this is a very important building block in just understanding Chassidus in general. So get this idea down very clearly. Chachma, Bina, Das. Three stages, right, of an idea. Chachma. What's Chachma? The Sfarim say, Tanya brings it, the Chachma can be arranged as koach ma. Koach ma. The potential of ma, of something. Right? Ma means like, what is it? It's that moment where the light bulb goes off in your head. You have an idea, chachma, that spark of inspiration. You can't develop the idea yet. You can't even express the idea yet. It's a koach, it's raw material. It's a raw idea. It's so raw that it has no form whatsoever. But you feel like you got something. You're sitting with your business partner, you're trying to be big entrepreneurs, come up with the latest and the greatest. All of a sudden, you're sitting there brainstorming creative ideas. All of a sudden, you say, I got it. What is it? I don't know, but I got it. What is that? That's called chachma. Chachma is koach, the potential. Koach means the potential of ma, of something. What is bina? Now that the light bulb went off my head, we take it to level two. The idea enters into what's referred to as Hamuskal Hasheni, the second level of intellect, a deepening of the understanding of the idea. Now I know what it is. I have a picture in my mind what it is. It's starting to take shape and form. It's expanding. Bina, I'm able to be Mavin Davar Mitoch Davar, to understand how one piece relates to another piece. I'm starting to see the picture taking on a greater shape and a greater form. It's no longer completely theoretical. Chachma means I want to build a house. I have no idea how to do that. It's just a raw idea. I want to build a house. Bina means I now see how I could actually do this. I have the blueprints in my mind, right, or in my hand, and I'm starting to understand what's going to take to actually create the house. Now there are rooms, right? Now there are dimensions. It's expanding. It's taking shape and form. Okay? What is Das? And then we can understand what Amalek is trying to fight against. Das, the third stage, Das is the complete perfecting of the idea. He writes here, he says, Das hi hachlata hasofis bi vada'os gemura. Bina, those pieces are still, you know, you're still drawing the picture. You could erase a line and add a line, you could expand a line, you could shrink a line. Right? Bina, the idea is taking on shape and form, but it's not complete yet. Das means vada'i. Now it's complete. The complete picture has been formed, right? Maybe you could even say that Das, it's been created, the house has been built. It's not a theoretical anymore. It exists. It's real. It's vada'i. Okay? It means that you've become completely attached to the idea, fully attached to the idea. That's why when it talks about Adam HaRishon being intimate with his wife, Chava, in Bereishis Parak Dalet, it says that man knew his wife. Das, knowing someone, in a biblical sense, right, means what? Chibor, attachment. That Adam, right, was intimate with his wife. Yeah? That's supposed to be Das, Kedushin. Yeah, Kedushin requires Das. Marriage requires Das. It's completely being invested in an idea. Very much against the modern day senses, where, what do you mean? I could be sexually involved with anyone. You know, I don't have to be committed to them. The Torah says Das. That's the word that the Torah uses for intimacy, to say, don't you dare get into bed with anyone until you're fully committed to them, until it's a vadai. Don't play games with that kind of stuff. It's chibur, it's a kesher. It's a very deep attachment to a person. Okay? So das is the solidification of an idea, the full attachment to the idea. Good? And das means I have the ability to take that potential all the way to reality. That it's not going to remain theoretical, but it's going to become clear, crystal clear, fully attached, deep connection, sense of permanence. Yeah? The Gemara says in Nedarim, Daf Mem Aleph Amet Aleph, that a true ani, a true poor person, is not a person who doesn't have a lot of money, not a person who doesn't have a lot of food. A truly poor person, the Gemara in Nedarim says, is a person who's an ani bedaas. He's poor because he lacks true friends, he lacks true attachment. He's not really connected to anyone because he's pretending to be connected to everyone. So real das means being completely, completely connected, fully attached to an idea without any suffix whatsoever. And now you start to understand where a malik comes into the picture. If a malik is a safik, malik is gematria safik, a malik gets us to doubt Hashem, hayesh Hashem bikirbeinu im ayin, is God with us or not, it makes sense that the way that we fight against a malik is through das, we'll explain what that means, and how a malik is the klipa, is the negativity of das. A malik tries to show that there's nothing that's fully attached. Everything is temporary. Malik feels that way because they're temporary, because they're going to be destroyed. They can't accept the fact that Klal Yisrael are permanently attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? Before we go fully into a Malik, let's go back to the root of Galus. Because the B'nai Yisrael quotes an Arizal. The Arizal explains that Mitzrayim was a Galus Hadas. Before we get to a Malik, which is the end of the story, let's go back to the beginning of the story. A malik, the first place where the Jews were held captive, where the Jews were enslaved, was a feeling of what? It was a galus hadas. They were mentally enslaved. They didn't fight back. There was no uprising. We don't have accounts of Jews who tried to overthrow their oppressors. They were trapped. They believed in Hashem, but it was a little shaky. Right? There wasn't das. They didn't have, their mind was mibubal. They couldn't get it together. And therefore in Mitzrayim, they believed in God, but they also were struggling to believe they could actually be saved. And we see that. We see that clearly in the Torah. Says the Arizal, quoted by the Bnei Yisachar, which Jewish personality is associated with Das? Who is associated with Das? Is it Avram? Is it Yitzhak? Yaakov? Moshe? Aaron? Yosef? David? Who's Das? The Das of Kedusha? All of them for sure. But who is primarily the person of Das? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Das of Kedusha. Paro, by the way, as far as I'm saying, was the Das of Tumah, just like a Malik. So Moshe comes to Klal Yisrael, who are in a state of Golus Hadas, they're feeling lost in Egypt. They need a Rebbe who can get them attached to holiness, to get them reconnected to Hashem fully. So Hashem sends Moshe. About Moshe, who it says, what? Asher yadu Hashem. He knew Hashem. Moshe knew God. Das. Moshe knew God. So Moshe comes to Jews who are struggling to know Hashem. Right? And Hashem says, listen, the whole point of going to Mitzrayim is that what? Is that they should know that I am Hashem. As we see many times in the Psukim, by the Makos. Right? V'yadatem ki ani Hashem Elokeichem. That's the whole point of Mitzrayim. To go through that struggle and to come out with the clarity that God runs the world. Open miracles. Mitzrayim. Kriyas Yamsuf. Zekei Livan Veyu. Clarity. So Moshe, who has that clarity, comes to Bnei Yisrael and he says, I'm going to teach you how to have Das. And with Das, you can get out of Mitzrayim. You can get to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you can get out of Mitzrayim. Okay? So again, so what do we have so far? What we have so far is that Amalek represents a negative aspect of Das. We said that Das, as in Chachma Bina Das, means fully attached to an idea, complete chibur to an idea. We explained that in Mitzrayim, also the Jews were struggling because of a galus hadas, a lack of mindfulness, if you will, full attachment to Hashem. And Moshe, who is the person who knew Hashem, came to Mitzrayim to save the Jews so that they should know, V'yadatem, ki ani Hashem, Elokeichem. However, when does a Jew have Das during the week? The time of Das, the Gemara even says, that a Talmud Chacham, the Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham, if we said that Das means the chibur between Ish v'Isha, the Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham is intimate with his wife on Shabbos, on Leil Shabbos, on Friday night. Why? Because Shabbos is a time of Das. Shabbos is a time of attachment. I see my kids a lot more on Shabbos than I do during the week. I see my wife a lot more on Shabbos than I do during the week. Right? I'm in my house. I'm more connected to myself as opposed to running around on Shabbos than I am during the week. And those are all superficial expressions of Das. Right? But if Das means being attached, being connected, not being scattered, well, what's the day of the week where I'm fully within the day? Shabbos. Wherever I go, it's Shabbos. I'm surrounded by Shabbos. Shabbos is called Das. We see that many times in the Torah. Va'ata daber b'nei Yisrael le'mor, ach es Shabbosai tishmoru, keep the Shabbos. Why? L'das ki ani Hashem. You should come to know that I am God who sanctifies you. Shabbos is a time of Das. It's interesting. When did the Jews get the mitzvah of Shabbos? They already had it before Har Sinai. They got it in Mara. The Jewish people acquired the concept of Shabbos even before Har Sinai. Why did they need Shabbos so early? The answer is because getting out of Mitzrayim, which is a galus hadas, requires a proper das. And Shabbos is a time of das. L'das ki ani Hashem. V'kadishchem. You should know that I am God who sanctifies you. Shabbos is a time of das. And therefore, when we came out of Mitzrayim, Hashem says, these Jews need das. They need to get connected to das. Dat. Yeah? They need to be deeply attached to me. And Shabbos is a time where we feel Hashem's presence in our life, much more so than on a regular Wednesday afternoon. That's why the Gemara in Shabbos says that when Hashem wanted to give Shabbos to Klal Yisrael, the Gemara says, Shabbos Daf Yud Amud Beis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to Moshe, and he said, I have an unbelievable present for you, an amazing gift for you. It's called Shabbos. And what did Hashem say to Moshe? This is the gift I want to give Klal Yisrael. What should you do? Lech v'hodiyim. Go and tell them. Right? Das, tell them, inform them. Give them the knowledge. Right? Lech v'hodiyim. Let it be known to them. What does that mean? Moshe, go tell Bnei Yisrael. Go teach them that with Shabbos, they can overcome galus. Mitzrayim tries to get us to be all confused, all mububal, like we were learning this morning. Shabbos gives a person that magnetic pull back to where he wants to be. And that's why it's so interesting, because the truth is, the Jewish people started keeping Shabbos in Mitzrayim. You ever hear this? We're going to get to it in a couple of months in the Berditchever. The Berditchever talks about this. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Medrash says, created the concept of Shabbos. He convinced Paro that if you let the Jews rest on Saturday, they'll work better on the rest of the days of the week. So in Mitzrayim, we already practiced keeping Shabbos. Began to practice keeping Shabbos. Why? Because if you understand in Pnimius that Mitzrayim is a galus hadas, Shabbos is the thing that gets you reconnected to where you should be and where you want to be. And therefore in Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu created and convinced Paro to give the Jewish people something that resembles Shabbos. Of course, Hashem would officially declare Shabbos, but the Klal Yisrael had a semblance of Shabbos already in Mitzrayim. Yeah.
Wasn't Shabbos really created when
Hashem created
the world?
True.
The concept
of resting on Shabbos, Moshe instituted for the Jews to take a break from their regular activities in Mitzrayim.
Was that instituted when
Hashem rested, yeah, but it wasn't necessarily practiced throughout history. I don't know, was it practiced? Just because the Torah tells us that Hashem rested doesn't mean that, I don't know, Noach rested every Shabbos.
So
could be he did. I'm saying Moshe formally responded to Mitzrayim, where Paro didn't want to let them rest at all, by convincing Paro, let them rest one day of the week, and they'll work much better the other days of the week.
So the first time that we reacted to Hashem resting on Shabbos was?
It could be, more formally, yes, that's correct. Could be this is the first time.
What was the reason that Shabbos was that day? Why did he say that let's rest on Shabbos? Because
that's how you fight off Mitzrayim. If Mitzrayim is causing you to have a lack of a das, Shabbos gives you that sense of das, right? As Shabbos was sai tishmoro, v'das keini Hashem. Moshe understood that this, Moshe being a person of Das, understood that Shabbos is a day of Das, and that's how you fight against Mitzrayim, which causes Golus HaDas, causes a person to be all over the place. Okay? So yes, it makes sense that Moshe Dafka, who is Das, instituted Shabbos, which is a time of Das, to fight against Mitzrayim, which was a Golus HaDas. So now you understand. Zachor, we're going to read it this Shabbos. Remember what Amalek did to you when? The Torah highlights, Baderech, you were on the road, coming from where?
Mitzrayim.
From Mitzrayim. You were just leaving Mitzrayim. You had just finally got your das, you finally got your head on straight. Paro was a gullus adas, Mitzrayim was a gullus adas. Moshe, who was the holiness of das, took you out of Mitzrayim. He taught you about Shabbos. You're finally, the Jewish people are finally getting connected to where they're supposed to be, which is connection to God. And all of a sudden, who tries to stop them the second they try to get their act together? Zachor, remember what Amalek did to you? B'tzeischem Mitzrayim. You were just leaving Mitzrayim. You just got your head screwed on straight. And all of a sudden, the Amalek comes and attacks. Amalek, which is what? Again, that same klipa, that same negative, kalach of das. Amalek comes and attacks right away. The Gemara says in Pesachim, if the Jewish people would have kept, in Shabbos, I apologize, Shabbos Kuf Yuches, the Gemara says that had the Jewish people kept that first Shabbos, had the Jewish people kept the first Shabbos, no nation could have ruled over them. Had the Jewish people kept the first Shabbos properly, no nation could have ruled over them. What's the pshat? Pshat's like this. Reishis goyim Amalek. Amalek is the first of nations. Amalek is the negativity of Shabbos, is the antithesis of holy das. So if we can get past the Malik, we can get past anyone, is what the Gemara is saying. Had we kept the first Shabbos, we would have had the medicine to fight off a Malik. Shabbos is holy das, a Malik is negative das. Had we kept that Shabbos, we could have fought off anyone. But we messed up that first Shabbos. And therefore, Klal Yisrael slipped from the world of das, of clarity, of clear attachment, back into the world of a Malik, which is Gematria Safik. Back to the world of doubt, back to the world of uncertainty. And that's what Amalek was doing to Klal Yisrael. Had we stuck with Moshe Rabbeinu stronger, Aseilach HaRav, like we learned yesterday, Yistalik Min HaSafik. But because Klal Yisrael weren't able to hold on to Shabbos, and they would question Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Unfortunately, what would that lead to? It would lead to Amalek attacking them. For us, the question becomes, on Purim, so who is the person of Das? And again, I told you from the beginning, all this seems to contradict the ad de lo yada of the drinking of Purim. Okay? I have some thoughts on that, but we're going to save that. Who is, so to speak, the Moshe Rabbeinu of Purim? Mordechai. In fact, if you look in the Medrash draws very strong connections between Moshe and Mordechai. I haven't even told you that Mordechai was a Gilgal of Moshe Rabbeinu. I didn't say that yet. I'm just saying, on a simple level, the Medrash draws strong connections between Moshe and Mordechai. Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan Abira. Listen to the Medrash. Ish Malamit Shaya Mordechai Shakul B'Doro K'Moshe B'Doro. Mordechai, says the Medrash in Esther, was in his generation like Moshe Rabbeinu was in his generation. Right, just like Moshe stood in the breach to fight back, so too Mordechai stood in the breach to fight back. Yeah, the Medrash goes on, bringing psukim and psukim and psukim, that Mordechai brings shalom and Moshe Rabbeinu brings shalom. And Moshe taught Klal Yisrael and Mordechai taught Klal Yisrael. Many connections in the Medrash linking Moshe Rabbeinu, Das, in his time, to Mordechai in his time. The Chidah brings a remnant to this idea. The Chidah was a great Sephardi Chacham, as we mentioned many times, lived about 300 years ago. The Chidah, Chaim Yosef David Azulai, Chidah, wrote a sefer called Chomat Anach. Chomas Anach. In the Chomas Anach, on Megillas Esther, the Chidah says, Ish Yehudi, which is the term that we give to Mordechai, Ish Yehudi Hayah B'Shushan Abira, Ish Yehudi is Gematria Moshe. Ish Yehudi is Gematria Moshe. Plus one. Ish Yehudi is 346. And Moshe is 345. Plus one is 346. So Ish Yehudi is Gematria Moshe. And therefore, what it's hinting to is the same way that Moshe was Da'as and tried to teach them Shabbos, tried to teach them what it means to be attached and not to be scattered and separated. What is he doesn't quote it here, but what does Haman say about us? How does Haman mock Klal Yisrael? What does he say about us? We're what? We're an Am that's Mifuzar u Mifurad. What does that mean? Scattered. Not Das. Not Yishuv Hadas. A person who has, why do we call it Yishuv Hadas? Was that a person who has peace of mind? Yishuv Hadas, his Da'as is settled. Paro tried to cause us Bilbul Hadas. Amalek causes us Bilbul Hadas. Moshe is Das of holiness. Mordechai is Das of holiness. They try to gather Klal Yisrael together. What does Esther actually do? What do Esther and Mordechai do? Lech Chinos Kol Ehudim. Don't be scattered. Get it together. Pull it together. So Mordechai in his generation is like the Moshe Rabbeinu in his generation. Unfortunately, what happens when you don't listen to Mordechai? People didn't like Mordechai. They thought he was causing trouble for being so frum. You don't listen to Mordechai, Asei Lecha Rav, you don't have a Rebbe, you disrespect the Gadol Hador, guess what happens? Haman comes to town. Asei Lecha Rav, Estalik Min HaSafik. Right? Distance yourself from a Malik. Make sure you're connected to people. But Mordechai was the ultimate. There's no one in Tanakh, I think, who probably gives us a greater sense of pride than Mordechai and his Yishuv Hadas. When Haman would walk by, what does the Pasuk say? Would he bow? He wouldn't bow. What else wouldn't he do? You know what the Pasuk says? It says he was Yoshev B'Shar HaMelech, he sat there. Right? Forget bow, he didn't stand up for him. And not only that, the Pasuk says what? Velo Zah. Zion Ayin. Velo Zah. What does that mean? He didn't move, he didn't budge. He was such Yishuv Hadas, such self-control, that nothing was going to cause Mordechai to change anything about the way that he wanted to serve Hashem. You know why? Because Vaadai. I'm not giving in to the suffix of a Malik. Hashem is perfectly clear in my life. Hashem is a Vaadai in my life. And therefore Mordechai, you know what angered Haman more than anything else? Lo Zah. He didn't move one bit. He couldn't be budged because he was connected, fully connected. Not Chachma, not Bina, but Das. Full Chibur, full attachment. And that's what made Haman so crazy. Okay? Last piece. Last step. The last step is we talked about Mitzrayim being a Galus HaDas. We spoke about Amalek being a negativity of Das. Right? But where was the first time that a Jew lost their Das? The Eitz HaDas. The Eitz HaDas. When the Nachash convinced us to eat from the tree, right? It was the Nachash. Nachash convinced us to eat from the tree. And the Arizal says that Haman comes from the Nachash. Now there's a lot to say about that. We're not going to go into that right now. But the Arizal says that Haman is rooted in the Nachash HaKadmoni, in the original snake. That's why the Gemara says, where is there a hint to Haman in the Torah? Hamin HaEitz. Pasuk describing the Eitz HaDas. Okay. Now let's think about this for a second. You'll see something amazing. Yeah, Velvel, let's hear. What do you got? Ah, very good. Who's the quote there? Who? Kilas Yaakov, yeah. Kilas Yaakov is a Kabbalistic dictionary. It's a very useful thing to have around your house. Happen to have one at home. Yeah, and the Kilas Yaakov, that's where I saw it also. It says that Haman is Rashi Tevos, who? Mishoresh Nachash. He comes from the root of the Nachash. The Neshama is linked at its root. Very good. Okay? Guess it was meant to be shared. Haman, who Mishoresh Nachash? Yeah? Yeah?
It also reminds me of Chanukah, because like you're running most of the whole thing and they just want to take away your das.
Right, Bitul Adas, right. Okay, Chanukah and Purim always have links. Always, wherever you find Chanukah, you find Purim and vice versa. There's no question about it. That's for sure true. Yeah.
Is there like a reminiscence one there, or a linguistic connection?
The what?
Haman and Nachash?
Haman and Nachash?
They're not the same.
Literally, no, I don't. There's no linguistic connection. There's a spiritual connection. Again, we're saying Haman could be Rashi Tevos, who Mishoresh Nachash. That's what Zev's adding. Okay, but Chavish, listen to this. This is going to blow your mind. We touched on this once before, but let's do it again. The B'nai Yisachar says an unbelievable thing. Megala Mukos talks about this. A lot of tzaddikim talk about this. When the Nachash tricked, just to convince you that the Nachash is a Malek, is Haman, the Nachash, how did the Nachash trick Chava? Did the Nachash talk in a language of Vadai? The Nachash said a suffix. Maybe God doesn't want you to eat from the tree because he doesn't want you to also become God. Right? It's a hard pasuk to read, that pasuk at the beginning of the Chumash. It's not even, it's like a half a question. That's called a suffix. The Nachash plants a suffix. So, Chavis, so listen to this. The word that's used by the Torah to describe being tricked by the Nachash, it's Bereishis Perek Gimel Pasuk Yud Gimel. The word in the pasuk is what? Who remembers the word? Hanachash. What did the Nachash do? Anyone? Hanachash Hishiani. The Nachash tricked me. Hishiani means the Nachash tricked me. Hishiani. That's what Chava says. The snake tricked me. The Nachash was Hishiani. I got tricked. Right, but says the B'nai Yisachar, says the Megala Mukos, who's before the B'nai Yisachar, says so many tzaddikim, Hishiyani, what did it say about Amalek? Hayesh Hashem dekirbeinu imayin. Hanachash Hishiyani, Hayesh and ayin. Is God with us or not? It's mamish the same letters. Hishiyani is Hayesh and ayin. Hayesh Hashem dekirbeinu imayin. Chavir, you know how to answer the question on Purim when the Nachash asks you? When Haman, when Amalek asks you, is God with you or not? You know what the answer is? What's the answer? Yesh Hashem or Ein Hashem? What's the answer? No? Vada, let's go. Yesh Hashem, right? The answer is Yesh Hashem. So the Sfarim say Yesh Hashem is Gematria Purim. A Yid who says Yesh Hashem, Yesh means existence, fact, Vadai, no suffix in the world, no tricks, I'm not going to fall for some stupid Nachash or some stupid Amalek or some stupid Haman. I'm going to have confidence in being a Yid. I'm not going to get tricked. The Nachash Yishiyani is Osios Yesh and Ani, or Yesh and Ayin. Now I'll tell you a gevaldik chiddush from Rabbi Rubinstein, for those who know Rabbi Rubinstein. Rabbi Rubinstein once shared with me that on Purim, is going to blow your mind. It's very Rabbi Rubinsteinish for those who listen to his Torah. Right? What do we do on Purim? Mechayev what? Mechayev Inish. Mechayev Inish. Lebesume bepuraya ad lo yada. Inish means a man. A man needs to get drunk on Purim. Mechayev Inish. Lebesume bepuraya. A person's supposed to get drunk, but Inish is also the Osios Ayin and Yesh. When you drink on Purim, you're asking yourself, even when I'm drunk, do I still know HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists? Do I have clarity? Even when I'm intoxicated? Maybe that's really the secret of ad lo yada. We're saying the whole way the feet of Malik is das. Maybe I have to get to such a point that even when I'm not, you know, connected to Das, when I lose my Das, I'm still attached to Hashem. Maybe that's the Madriga. Maybe that's the goal. But however, in the context of what we're explaining today, again, let's listen carefully. Right? Amalek is the Klipa of Das. It's rooted in the Nachash who tricked us to lose our Das and to eat from the Eitz Hadas, which was destructive. And therefore, HaNachash Hishiani, the same letters as Amalek. Hayesh Hashem Bikirbeinu Im Ayin. So now we understand why on Shabbos we read Parsha Zachor. Remember that question? Why don't I read Parsha Zachor on the laning right before Purim? Maybe Monday I should read Parsha Zachor. What does Shabbos have to do with Amalek? It's a convenient time to read the Torah. We read it also on Monday and Thursday. Why read about Amalek on Shabbos? Remembering what Amalek did to you on Shabbos. Because the answer is what? That Shabbos is Das. And Shabbos helps us to defeat Amalek. Shabbos helps us to get our pieces back together. When I'm scattered all week, I'm an Am Mefuzar Mefurad on Shabbos, Leich Chinos Kol Yehudim. All the Jews come back together. And that's how we defeat Amalek. Mamash, the last point for the day. The Pasuk says in the first parak of Esther, B'yom HaShvi, Ketov Lev HaMelech B'yayin. On the seventh day, when the king was intoxicated with wine, he said, bring out Vashti. And of course, bring out Vashti meant bring her out undressed. And Rashi says there, based on Chazal, B'yom HaShvi'i, Ketov Lev HaMelech B'yayin. Yom HaShvi'i means Shabbos. Vashti was killed on Shabbos, the Gemara says, because she mistreated the Jewish women on Shabbos. Okay. Of course, killing Vashti is the beginning of the salvation, right? It's the beginning of the end for Haman and Ahasuerus. Tzadikim explain, he quotes here the Yitav Panim, one of the Tzadikim of Satmar, who says, Bayom HaShvi, it was Shabbos, Kitov Lev HaMelech B'yayin. Which Melech? Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem on Shabbos is satisfied with the Yayin. What Yayin? Kiddush. It was the schus of Shabbos that brought about the downfall of Vashti, brought about the downfall, by extension, of Haman and Amalek, etc., etc., etc. So you see that Shabbos played a critical role, right, in changing, so to speak. It was Shabbos that caused Ahasuerus, again, the Pashup Shah, drunk, silly Ahasuerus, called out his wife on Shabbos. In Pnimius, it was the Kiddush that Jews make on Shabbos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, ah, these are people who recognize what it means to have true Das, and I'll use that to destroy Amalek. So that's why we read, again, on Shabbos, we read on the day of Das, L'Das Ki Ani Hashem, which is a reference to Shabbos, we read about the downfall of Amalek. Shabbos helps us to have Das, the Kedusha, and Holy Das helps us to defeat the Klipa of Amalek, of Haman, of Paro, and the Mirtz Hashem. In a world where Yishuv Das is hard to come by, Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us to have proper Das and to defeat Amalek once and for all. Yeah, it says it was the seventh day, first parak of Esther. It says on the seventh day, the king became drunk with wine. And Rashi says the seventh day means Shabbos. Rashi and Megillas Esther. So Tzadikim explain. Who says? The Maloha Omer and the Yitav Panim. It's one of the Tzadikim from the Satmar Hasidic dynasty. So he says that it means that the Melech means Malchus Shaol, the master of the world. Hashem saw that Jews make Kiddush, and B'schus Shabbos, Kadosh Baruch Hu killed Vashti, which is the first step to the salvation of Klal Yisrael. Okay, so we should really embrace this Shabbos more than maybe any other Shabbos the whole year. Shabbos that leads us into Purim. Okay.